From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
And we're back in the podcast studio an hour earlier than we normally do it with daylight saving time, which we'll get into here in just a little bit. I am Dale, he is Kurt, and we want to thank Bob Watson right off the top. Bob Watson, State Farm agent at 7th and Main in Blue Springs. He is one of the folks who brings you this podcast. And if you have not compared rates on your car, home, life insurance, your commercial business, if you have not compared rates lately, give Bob and his team a shot there at 816-229-7878. They're licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. Bob Watson, you know, it's funny because people reach out to me and they go, I call your sponsors on the podcast because I want people who think like I do. And trust me, Bob Watson thinks like we do. You remember the first meeting we had with him in Blue Springs?
I do, yeah.
It went on for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was great.
And we just talked about all the things that we agree about and what's wrong with this country. Bob Watson is a guy who thinks the way that we do. Plus, he's got State Farm behind him. I mean, that's like the best insurance there is. I've had it. He's been my agent for almost 30 years. So call Bob. All the ways you can be part of Dale Carter's America. Kurt, this is when you tell the folks how they can subscribe so they never miss an episode.
Yes, make sure that you are subscribed because that's the best way to see every episode. And if you're watching this on YouTube, that's the best place to catch us. You get to see our beautiful faces and all the video clips that we're going to play. Also on Rumble, if you're one of those who is protesting Facebook or for whatever reason want to view it on Rumble instead. And then also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts for audio only. And then make sure to shoot us a follow on Facebook and Instagram as well and join the conversation.
And, you know, because we're visual on our podcast, you know, on those platforms that Kurt just told you about, I like to dress the part whenever I come in. It's like, what statement am I making today? And the statement that I'm making today is, we won't stop. And that is the statement of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and KFKF and KBEQ combining on our 28th annual Country Cares St. Jude Radiothon. We raised over $312,000 for the kids at St. Jude. There's a beautiful team picture there that Kurt's going to bring up that shows the Q104 staff, the KF staff, and a couple of our St. Jude longtime patients, Dylan and Natalie, and all that money that you helped raise for us. So it was a wonderful feeling on Friday night when we ended the thing. And Debbie Erickson from my staff always does a song at the end, and she sang What a Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong song.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God. I asked her to do it because historically we've always ended the radiothon with Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And I told Debbie, maybe we shake it up this year.
Did she do the What a Wonderful
She did world. Not no. do it that way. Okay. She did it in her own way. but she did an amazing job with it. And we simulcast the tote board, the final tote board tally with Q and KFKF. And Ken Cox, our wonderful engineer, figured out how to do that. He's a very smart man. And I went to Todd Nixon, program director at Q, and I said, you know, our tradition at the end is always to have Debbie sing. And he said, well, if it's your tradition, it's our tradition. And I'm telling you, I almost teared up at that point. And then when Debbie sang, it's What a Wonderful World, it just put it over the top.
That's great. I need to see her perform sometime. I've seen Tony's band, but I haven't seen her sing. I've heard she's very talented.
Debbie actually had a record label deal back in the day. And she was a touring artist. And now she's done radio for me for a very long time. Very, very talented.
Yeah, talented lady for sure.
And I think she's with me on this, but we're against the new stadium taxation deal on April 2nd. Going to vote no. Becky Nace was here with us explaining all the reasons to vote no, and we're putting up a link now so that you can help support those people who want to vote no, because right now the advertising is all over the place of if you don't vote yes, the Chiefs and Royals are going to pull up stakes and they're going to leave.
Yep.
And that is just so wrong. There's so much misinformation out there right now. But we are encouraging you to vote no on this new stadium tax April 2nd. And hopefully you'll do that. And we'll see if we have the power again in Eastern Jackson County to say no, to new taxes. They even say it's the same tax. It's not. It's a completely different tax. And it's going to go for 40 years. 40 years.
I'm putting it up on Facebook as we speak.
Okay. All right. Kurt's over there typing like a banshee. And while he is doing that, we'll talk about your roof because springtime is coming. You know what happens in spring? It starts raining in Kansas City in spring. And when the rains come, you find out where your roof is failing. I think we've all been there. You get the biggest pot you can find in the kitchen, and you put it under the leak, and you let it drip, drip, drip until you do something about it. Well, if it's time for a new roof at your house, please call my friend Austin at Royal Roofing and Solar. They'll take care of you. The Watterson family, they are a wonderful family in Cass County, and they've got Mike Dale, who is their solar expert as well. So they call it Royal Roofing and Solar at 816-540-7057. Royal Roofing and Solar. They have the roof over Casa del Carter, and they can put the roof on your house as well. And with solar, they can turn your home into its own power generation source. And when your Evergy goes out or goes up to the point where you can't handle it anymore, how about turning your house into its own power generator? SolarByRoyal.com and RoyalContractingKC.com. Those are the two ways you can connect with Royal Roofing and Solar. Medicare Simplified KC. Did you know, Kurt, that 10,000 people a day turn 65 in this country?
Yeah, and it's speeding up, I imagine, too, because our country is getting older and older year over year.
Well, it's the end of the baby boom generation. I am the tail end of the baby boom generation, and I'm still 4.5 years out. And when those folks turn 65, they don't know anything about Medicare. So if you're approaching 65, my good friends Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker at Medicare Simplified KC can make Medicare understandable and simple for you. Over the last 10 years, they've helped thousands of people understand Medicare and how it applied to their particular circumstances. Medicare is not one size fits all. You've got options and choices to make. Kirk and Lori can help you navigate the Medicare maze. Why sit through a two-hour Medicare seminar where 60% of that info they give you won't pertain to you? Schedule a no-cost visit with Kirk or Lori, and they'll show you how Medicare applies to you and your situation. Medicare Simplified KC, get the answers and know your options. They're at 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence. Reach them on the phone at 816-701-6661 or again on their website, MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. The state of our union. You know, before television, the State of the Union TV show, as we want to call it, is pretty much a 20th century invention. Mm. Before that, presidents didn't even go to Capitol Hill. Mm. They just wrote it out. You know, here's the State of the Union. We give it to Congress, and they talk about it, debate on it, or whatever. But with the advent of television, FDR in particular, it became kind of an event, and now presidents go up to Capitol Hill, and they have their State of the Union show. So I thought it might be fun for the State of the Union this time, and I put it up on Facebook beforehand, to have the Dale Carter's America drinking game with all five Democrat plays on display. Just take a shot every time one of the plays is invoked. And, of course, play number one in the liberal playbook is, it's racist. And it turns out that Joe Biden is the racist. Because after mentioning Lincoln Riley, he called her Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up.
No. Nope.
I don't know if that's your clip you're going to play. But
Yep, that's the clip.
All right. There was a lot of Democrat outrage over something he said in mentioning Lincoln Riley. Play the clip, and I'll tell you about the outrage.
I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley,
Lincoln.
An innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals?
All right. So I want to pause there for a second because I'm trying to understand what he said. He said Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
And he only brought it up because you see Marjorie Taylor Greene in full Trump regalia
he
here.
He was planning on bringing it up because he had a button with him. And the
No. She gave him the button.
Okay.
You see, they're wearing the buttons.
Okay.
They have her
face on. So she gave him the button.
So when he was coming down the aisle at the beginning, which took freaking like 20 minutes for him to, you know, he was taking selfies with people and it's infuriating, but that's besides the point. She got into the aisle and was basically, you know, telling him that he needs to talk about Lake and Riley. She gave him the button and she was heckling him on stage. You notice he goes off prompter there. He's no longer on the teleprompter at that point. And he's like, oh, they're yelling at me. Let me address this. And he pulls up the button that Marjorie Taylor Greene gave him.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to mispronounce her name. Then he says, was killed by an illegal, which is the part that you're talking about. But then after he says, I think what he says is how many people are killed by illegals. So he's already mispronouncing her name, but then he downplays the issue. Let's just listen to that one more time.
An innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
So she was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many thousands of people are killed by illegals? That's what he says.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Shifting gears here, the left went after him, you know, like a pig on stink or stink on a goat or something like that. I don't know what I'm saying. Hey, man, it's like the day after daylight saving day, and I'm a little bit groggy here, so cut me some slack.
They went after him like a goat on a pig.
Exactly. They went after him. I'm off prompter here, so, you know, God knows what's going to happen. But again, it gets back to the liberal thing. They don't care about the fact that Lakin was killed. It's more about how you couch it.
Right.
It's just like Mayor Quentin Lucas in Kansas City. You know, he's more worried about the governor calling the people who shot up our Super Bowl celebration thugs than he is the shooting up of the celebration. So they're more concerned about him calling them illegals. Because, my God, we can't call them illegals. We can't call homeless people anymore. They're the unhoused.
Right.
You've got to get the language right. And Joey, you know, they ask him before he jumped on Air Force One, should you walk that back? And he goes, the guy was here. He shouldn't have been here. I'm just going to leave it at that. He shouldn't have been there. And the Fuhrer continued. And now I guess Joey's walked it back.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, he was off prompter. There's no way that his speechwriters would have put illegal into the speech. He was off prompter. He said it. And then he sort of half defended it again off prompter when he was being pressed by the press, getting on Air Force One. And then he was on MSNBC after the fact and walked it back. So his puppet masters, you know, got to him and told him, hey, man, you need to go in front of the camera and basically apologize or walk it back. So here's what he said.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing.
They built the country. Illegals built the country. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
The bottom line is they are illegals.
I mean,
and that's how our courts mention them. That's how our Justice Department mentions them. And if you come into the country illegally, guess what? You're an illegal. Why are we fighting over words?
It's so ridiculous. And I mean, he takes it to like the next level of just kissing up to these people and kissing. It's not, the thing is, he's not even kissing up to the illegals. He's kissing up to the Democrat voters who don't want to hear him say that word. That's who he's kissing up to. And then he takes it a step further and says, they built this country. Give me a freaking break. Oh my God.
All right. So that's play number one. And it was Joey that stepped in it. Play number two is someone has something you don't have, and that's not fair. So of course you knew he was going to go after those evil, wealthy corporations, right?
Yeah.
Oh, look at, and one of the things that you'll see with the Vice President Harris, I mean, she may well be Catholic just like Joey, because she can stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. If only there was a kneeling part. And then when you watch our Speaker of the House on some of these clips too, I love this guy. You know, we have a thing at our house we call the Sheltie side eye. Because, you know, Harry will give me that look out of the side of the eye. And that's a famous thing for Shelties. It's called the Sheltie side eye. So my prediction was you would come out of the State of the Union with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, being called un-American and a flamethrower for his side eye looks. Whereas Nancy Pelosi, who stood up and ripped up Donald Trump's speech, she was Joan of Arc. Right. That was a Joan of Arc moment. Okay, so roll on with the evil corporations.
I'm a capitalist. You want a maker can make a million or millions of bucks, that's great. Just pay your fair share in taxes. A fair tax code is how we invest things to make this country great. Healthcare, education, defense, and so much more. But here's the deal. The last administration enacted a $2 trillion tax cut. Overwhelmingly benefit the top 1%.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he goes off on that for a while, too.
You know, and we've talked about this on this podcast I don't know how many times, but when you go after, quote unquote, evil corporations, think about this. If you have a 401k, you own stock in these evil corporations. Your retirement is based on the success of these evil corporations, all right? When you go shopping at these evil corporations, if their taxes are raised, where do you think that ends? Do you think they just sit back in a room and go, oh, gee, Joey's going to give us a big old tax increase. I guess we'll just suck it up. We'll just take it out of our pocket. Yeah. It'll be fine because we're evil and we have all this money.
Right.
We just sit back here and we count the money. No, they're not going to do that. What they're going to do is if it's a retail outlet, what are they going to do? They're going to raise prices. Mm-hmm. Raise prices. Will they cut employees if it gets down to that? Because he says he's a capitalist. I don't believe that. A capitalist would understand that a corporation is there not for the benefit of the employees, not to pay taxes to the federal government. They're there to make a profit. That is the only reason a corporation exists, is to make profits. And if you're a public corporation, guess what? The rest of us who have 401ks and retirements and IRAs and all that, we're counting on you to do well. When you do well, we do well. That's how capitalism actually works. And when he passes on a huge corporate tax, it's going to filter all the way down to us. But it sounds great in a speech, and the Democrats out there go, yeah, Joey, you stick it to those bastards.
$700 billion and $1.3 trillion.
Yeah.
That's him calculating the tax code, by the way.
He's great. I may be better at math than him, and I'm not better at math than anybody. All right. So he bragged about building 500,000 new charging stations to fight climate change. Now, my views on EVs aside, I'm not an EV guy. And if you are, go out there and get one and drive it to your heart's content. But let's be honest about this. What powers the grid these cars are plugged into? Is it wind?
It's magical unicorn farts.
Unicorn, you know, we really need to buy some stock in unicorn farts because we talk about them quite a bit. It's not solar either. It's coal with a capital C. But Joey's going to build those charging stations.
We're also making history by confronting the climate crisis, not denying it. I don't think any of you think there's no longer a climate crisis. At least I hope you don't. I'm taking the most significant action ever on climate in the history of the world. I'm cutting our carbon emissions in half by 2030, creating tens of thousands of clean energy jobs, like the IBEW workers building and installing 500,000 electric vehicle chargers.
Stand up, Kamala.
She does, but
yeah.
So there was a... I have to sneeze. But there is a good little thread on this. So this policy of building 500,000 charging stations was possibly earlier than this, but it was at least announced back in 2022 at the Detroit Auto Show. So here's a story from 2022, September 15th. Biden approves network of 500,000 charging stations across 35 states. Now, he's just announcing it, right? He's saying, we're going to do this. We're going to invest. Everyone claps. You know, they make an announcement. They put it on paper. They say, this is our policy, you know, priority as the administration is doing this, right? So then fast forward to 2020. So at that point, zero have been built. They're just announcing it. Zero have been built. Fast forward to 2023, February 15th, 2023. Biden-Harris administration announces latest steps to deliver a national network of convenient, reliable, made-in-America electric vehicle chargers. Another announcement. None have been built. A year, almost, well, half a year later, none have been built. And then let's fast forward even further. We go to December 2023. Now, this is almost 2 years after the initial announcement was made. First EV charging station funded by Biden's infrastructure law goes online. So it took them a year and a half, and they finally built one EV charging station out of 500,000. So, I mean, it's all smoke and mirrors and you know, just they're trying to get out in front of it, make the announcement, make everyone think they're doing something about it. And, of course, government is extremely inefficient and takes you know, a lot of extra time and a lot of extra money to do basically nothing. So,
well, bottom line is nobody's buying these damn cars anyway.
Yeah.
They're not buying them. The you know, it's not there. The demand is not there. And unfortunately for Joe, we do live in a capitalist society, and you can't force people to buy things. You can incentivize them, and even incentivizing them, they're not buying them. Okay, play number four in the playbook. If you've played the game before, you know how this works. Play number four is, it's Trump's fault and or the MAGA Republicans. Donald Trump mentioned as my predecessor was mentioned 13 times in the State of the Union address.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Predecessor. Former Republican president tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. That's a quote.
Look it up.
I got to pause it because he did that multiple times throughout the speech. I don't even know where that quote comes from, but he's like taking either some out of context quote or making it up out of whole cloth. And he's trying to paint the picture like Trump is just back there like, yeah, get him, Putin, get him, Russians. We love Putin. We love Russians.
Maybe it came out of, you know, should we have steak or seafood for dinner tonight? I don't know. Do whatever the hell you want
right,
to do.
Right, exactly. But yeah, and people are stupid enough to believe that.
Quote, unquote. Quote.
The former president actually said that. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th.
Yeah. A whole section on January 6th.
My predecessor came to office determined to see Roe v. Wade overturned. He's the reason it was overturned. And he brags about it 4 years ago next week.
So I'm pausing it a lot, but there was a... So Michael Knowles, he's a Daily Wire podcast host.
Yeah.
If you listen to that clip, he got invited, Michael Knowles did, to the State of the Union by a congressman. And at that point he says, Trump came into office to see Roe v. Wade overturned. And one person starts clapping. And that was Michael Knowles up in the top.
Roe v. Wade overturned. He's the reason it was overturned. And he brags about it. 4 years ago next week, before I came to office, the country was hit by the worst pandemic and the worst economic crisis in a century. President, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable. Past administrations, including my predecessor, including some Democrats as well in the past, failed to buy American. Not anymore. But my predecessor and many in this chamber want to take this prescription drug away by repealing Affordable Care Act. I'm not gonna let that happen.
Are you done with your supercut for Christ's sake?
Yeah, I mean, there's much more, but we don't have to watch.
Are you drunk yet? If you're playing the DCA drinking game, right. You probably are.
Well, hopefully you're not playing it as you're watching this because it's like 9 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Come on.
So
who watched it? I mean, what were the ratings like on this thing?
I can't imagine. I watched it.
But I didn't watch it.
Slept. You were sleeping.
Yeah. So play number five in the Democrat playbook is nothing to see here. So Biden clearly juiced, and you were like lighting me up. The juice was wearing off.
Yeah. No, I mean, I posted this while you were sleeping to the Facebook page, but sort of ironically, but also unironically, the best takes on the State of the Union were all from Trump's Truth Social feed, just hilarious. I mean, and also like very astute observations about, you know, fact checking some of the things that Biden was saying and making the contrast between the Trump presidency and the Biden presidency. Trump did a really good job of that on Truth Social, but here he is saying the drugs are wearing off in all caps, like classic Trump on social media style. So
yeah,
that was great.
So the rebuttal to the State of the Union came from Alabama first term Senator Katie Britt.
Yep.
And I didn't see that either. You want to run a short clip of that?
Yeah, we have a short clip that I can play, and then we have the full video if we need it.
Mr. President, enough is enough. Innocent Americans are dying, and you only have yourself to blame. Fulfill your oath of office. Reverse your policies. End this crisis and stop the suffering.
Okay, so you didn't care for the rebuttal.
I hated it.
Yeah. Let me give you another. Let me give you the other side of that. You're going to vote for Trump. They've got you. If we don't reach out across the aisle to women in particular and suburban women, you know, specifically, we're going to lose this election. So, you know, if you want people to march in lockstep with you and agree with everything that you want, we're going to lose. If we don't reach out across the aisle and bring in people that Senator Katie Britt could bring to the table, we're going to lose.
I mean, I could not disagree more.
Well, again, this is you. I'm talking, you got to get outside you. You got to be more aware.
No, I am. I'm looking at this fairly objectively, at least in my opinion.
I don't think you are.
Which is not objective, obviously.
I think you're completely unobjective in this, in that you want Donald Trump.
Who is that convincing, though? Like, she gave a totally scripted, totally overacted performance.
Well, what is it you want? You want Marjorie Taylor Greene. You probably wanted Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, that'd be fun.
No, I mean, I don't think
she... Let's throw bombs from the aisle.
I don't think she'd be good for it either. I think, honestly, like I said, Trump gave a great rebuttal on Truth Social. I thought Tucker did a great job on X giving a rebuttal. And if people actually were curious, you can't hold people's hands, you know, across the finish line. They have to at least be curious to see the other side of things for themselves. And if they are curious, the answers are out there. They're very easy to find. They're very easy to find. And to me, it's like, okay, if we play... What is going to make us lose is if we play by the left's playbook. If we're like, oh, you know what? Our women are better than your women. We're going to put we're going to have this woman sitting in the kitchen and we're going to make her overact this super dramatic speech about how mean Joe Biden is. It's the same thing that they do with Donald Trump. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. There has to be actually like strong leadership presenting, you know, a real genuine message off prompter, talking about, you know, the things that we can do for this country in a positive message. That's what's going to change people's minds, not this BS. It was totally cringe. It was totally overperformed, overacted.
I get it.
Overscripted.
I get it. Yeah. You didn't like it. Kurt didn't like it.
I mean, I don't think that's if you can.
And then I ask you this. I ask you who gave the rebuttal last year and you didn't know. You had to look it up.
Right.
Nobody gives a shit. Let's move on because the State of the Union is over and the rebuttal speech is off to, toward Venus.
I would just say we can move on. I would just say, you know, I would like to see one person whose mind was changed by that or anything similar to that. It just doesn't exist. That's just where I'm coming from.
Well, maybe one of these days you'll change sex and maybe you'll get a better perspective. I doubt it. I think you're going to be a guy for life. Okay, and the guy who would know would be Dr. Mark Terramina. He could look under your hood and tell you immediately whether you're a guy or a gal.
I'll give him a call.
Yeah, please do. Well, you're not even close to old enough for this yet. Age 45 is when we tell you that you should go get your colonoscopy. Go get screened at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. You can find them on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. Kurt's scrolling through the website right now. You can get an appointment at 816-836-2200. We talk about a lot of silly stuff. We joke around on the podcast quite a bit, but this is dead serious. Get screened for colon cancer. Colon cancer will kill you if you don't catch it early. So they catch it early all the time at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. They can do your upper GI as well. The Google rating for Midwest GI Health and Wellness is 4.9 out of 5 stars. That's the highest in Kansas City. And when you set up your appointment with Dr. Taramina, who agrees with us, you should make sure you tell them you heard about it right here on Dale Carter's America. And then I always like to tie these two things together, because after you've done the prep for your colonoscopy and you've emptied every orifice you have in your body, you want to fill back up again. Nothing better than pizza for that. Go get yourself a big old large pizza at Fun House Pizza, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. Two locations, Jim Dingman runs them, and it's all about the family. Take the whole family there, and even in Joe Biden's America, you can still feed a family of four for $40 at Fun House Pizza. And the kids can have a lot of fun playing the games while they're there. And again, if you've got like a little league meeting coming up, the team meeting coming up, that's a great place to have it. It's a great place to have your banquet. All kinds of fun at Fun House Pizza, 50 Highway Lee Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs.
And we haven't talked about it in a while too, but he is always hiring. So if you have especially like high school or young college aged kids, family members, friends that are looking for some good work with a great company, great organization, great place to work, please send them Jim Dingman's way. And he's always posting on Facebook about needing more people to work there. So,
and he was a Marine, so he'll shape them up.
Yeah.
Right. You need those kids shaped up. Send them to Jim Dingman and he'll do tremendous work for them. Okay. Meanwhile, in Trump world, Nikki Haley finally bows out after Super Tuesday, and Donald Trump all but has the nomination. So here we go. Trump Biden 2.0. We have Nikki's swan song here.
Yeah, just a quick snippet of it.
I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign. I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in. I am filled with...
So she says that she's not going to endorse Donald Trump yet. I think that will probably happen at some point. This is when a party comes together as hard as they fight in the trenches for the nomination or in an election. At the end of the day, we typically as a country come together. Boy, we haven't done that in a while. But typically, you know, you've even seen it when another party wins the presidency. They're very gracious in defeat or victory, but we don't have that now. Boy, we didn't have that after Trump left. We don't have it with Biden now. Maybe at some point we'll get back to that and realize that even though we think a certain way, we think conservative and they think liberal, at the end of the day, my God, aren't we all Americans?
Yeah, we are. And I think we do have more in common than we have separate. You know, if you talk to people in just your everyday life, most people are at least reasonable, and you can at least, you know, disagree on some things, but they'll have other things in common. I mean, there is a lot of division for sure. There's more division than there has been in a long time. But I think really what we're seeing is a vocal minority of people being really loud on online and in the media. And then also just our political leadership. I mean, that's who our animus should be against, not our fellow Americans.
Well, and probably one of the reasons for this is MSNBC, and I hesitate to do this, but at some point you just have to call them out on their bullshit. And a friend of mine told me that whenever I talk about MSNBC, I'm doubling their audience from 1 to 2. They don't have a very big audience, but they say such outrageous things that you need to point it out and highlight it. So the Supreme Court, you talk about something that would bring us together as Americans. When you get a 9-0 decision out of the Supreme Court, that says something. That says that America and our Constitution overwhelmingly says this. So in Trump v. Colorado, overwhelmingly, the 9 justices came together and said, you as a state cannot take Donald Trump off the ballot. Think of the chaos that would cause. You know, first of all, we've said this before, there was no insurrection, right? Insurrection has not been charged in any of the cases of January 6th, including Donald Trump, by the way. Insurrection has not been charged. There's been no indictment. There's been no trial. There's been no conviction. So if you invoke Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the Insurrection Clause, who makes that determination? Does somebody just out of thin air say, "Huh, well, I think that was insurrection"? Well, how about in a red state, we think that Joe Biden letting millions of illegals come across the border, we think that he has let us down on his oath of office, so we're taking him off the ballot. The chaos that would ensue would just be, you know, we would not have a country anymore. You might as well rip the Constitution to shreds like Nancy Pelosi ripped up Donald Trump's State of the Union address. Yet the folks over at MSNBC, their hair is on fire.
Do you know who Keith Olbermann is?
Absolutely. Well, he was on ESPN for many years, yeah. And then he decided he was going to be a political commentator, and he has just gone way off the deep end.
He's so crazy, but he is a great, if you're on Twitter/X, he is one of the best follows. I mean, he is like so unhinged. It is grab the popcorn, but he was one that really freaked out over the Supreme Court thing. I'll get to the MSNBC clip in a second, but this was so funny. Here's Keith Olbermann's tweet. He said, "The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Its members, including Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension. And collectively, the quote-unquote court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved." And then this is the best part, though. Somebody responds, "Cry more, 9-0. And then Keith Olbermann responds to him, and he says, "Those aren't tears, fascist. They're urine. I'm sure you enjoy being bathed in it." That has 7.7 million views. So,
well, you know, he was on MSNBC for a while, but he has so far left. He's left America. And honestly, he ought to leave America. 9-0 at the Supreme Court. And has he not read the Constitution? And again, I would ask Keith Olbermann, because I think he's a smart guy, but he's just so far left. He's so blinded with Trump derangement syndrome. I would ask Keith, who determines whether or not there was an insurrection? Who determines it?
Right.
Do you just make it up? It's like, well, it looked kind of bad.
I think in his mind, Keith Olbermann determines it.
Well, where's the, you know, where is the, what's the word I'm looking for here? Again, I'm going to fall back on daylight saving time.
All men and women created by you know the thing.
I'm picking you up.
It's got to go to court, yeah. Right? Somebody's got to determine it, and no one has determined it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. Joy Reid.
This is MSNBC in all its glory.
They're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No, which is why Trump killed the immigration bill.
Correct.
That's why. And because otherwise, he can't run against the other and brown people and people who don't look like him. Like his supporters, his base of supporters, coming across the border and scaring people and killing people or whatever he's threatening out there. I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what? I mean, when I was in New Hampshire, people were talking about the northern border as a threat. Because Trump has indoctrinated people with this fear of people who do not look like them being a threat to them.
But as you know, I mean, in every election cycle, particularly when there's a Democratic incumbent, we get reminded about the borders, and the borders become a thing again. And then if there's a Republican in office, we don't think about them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really?
We don't think about them anymore because the problem is it becomes less of a problem.
Trump ran on the border and fixed some things on the border.
He could have done a lot better, but border crossings went down dramatically while he was president and then came way back up when Biden became president. Go figure.
So what you get out of that is the wisdom from Joy Reid, what Republicans really care about. Essentially, we hate black people and we fear the brown invasion.
Yeah.
So forget about everything that we've said on this podcast for 3.5 years about capitalism and what we believe and why we believe it. What Joy Reid says when she looks into our heart and our soul is, Kurt, we just hate black people.
It's like, it sounds like white noise to me. Like it just sounds like like the teacher from Charlie Brown or something And also, I'm so distracted by her hair, by Joy Reid's hair. I can't not just stare at it. It's amazing. Like,
And Rachel Maddow, I mean, you know, she's a lesbian, as you know.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear to me that she's the man.
Wait, she's a lesbian?
You didn't know that?
This woman right here
is
a lesbian?
Yes. Anyway. So we're probably getting in trouble for that. But hey, it's the podcast. It's the Wild Wild West.
We have
and we're
fun.
Poking a little fun. Hey, if they can make fun of West Virginians, we can make fun of lesbians.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Fine. Moving along here, if you're looking for a new home, and I may be soon, you got to call Michael Schroer. He's our real estate professional at RE/MAX Heritage. He'll find you a new home. He's been doing it for a long time, 35 years of residential and commercial construction experience, whether it's your first home, like the starter home, and I had one of those, right? Or it's the huge home where you're going to raise your family, or maybe when you're downsizing, you need a new home. Maybe you want to build the home of your dreams. Michael Schroer can take care of that as well. He loves being part of the podcast. He's one of those folks who reached out to me and said, hey, I want to be your real estate guy. So he's our real estate guy, licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. So if you are on the move, Michael is the man you need to talk to. 816-783-5800. You can find him on the web at michaelschroer.com. And Michael is M-I-C-H-A-E-L. Schroer is spelled S-C-H-R-O-E-R. So michaelschroer.com. Let's find the right home for you. And if you're ready to sell your home, he can take care of that too. Our real estate guy at Dale Carter's America. All right, some pickings from politics. I don't know if he covered this in the State of the Union or not, because, again, I didn't watch it, Kurt. Did he talk about the humanitarian aid port in Gaza?
A little bit, I believe. I think it was towards the end.
Yeah.
And I kind of I got busy with baby stuff at the end, so I missed some of it, but I think he did talk
about
that.
So that is our plan, though, is to build an American port in Gaza City.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I don't know who this is, but
he's a general, looks like, got a couple of stars.
He
going.
Looks like a very important guy. He's talking about a little bit about it.
Biden announced last evening the Department of Defense will undertake an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in Gaza, working alongside like-minded countries and partners. And I'll provide an overview of the concept, and then we'll be happy to take your questions. Now, to carry out this mission, the department is moving quickly to deploy its joint logistics over the shore capability to provide the expeditionary pier and expeditionary pier to enable the delivery of humanitarian assistance to Gaza. JLOTS is a unique capability maintained by the Department of Defense, whereby U.S. Army and U.S. Navy forces are organized, trained, and equipped to conduct joint ship-to-shore operations where fixed port facilities are inadequate or unavailable. Simply put, they'll establish a temporary offshore maritime pier that allows for shipping vessels to transfer cargo to smaller vessels to transport and offload cargo to a temporary causeway.
This goes on for a while.
Yeah. Well, at least he's saying the word temporary. And to me, that's a key. It's temporary. I still don't like it. What could possibly go wrong there? How many, you know, Hamas is still in control, right?
As far as I know, I don't know.
Because if they're not in control, what the hell are we even talking about? The war continues, and it will continue with Israel until Hamas is completely destroyed. And that's a concept that America is very comfortable with. We went through it in World War II. We bombed the shit out of Germany. Do you know how many civilians were killed in World War II? We bombed the shit out of them. Can you imagine if it was like, I don't know, we shouldn't go all the way to Berlin. We shouldn't get rid of this Hitler guy because we're killing too many civilians. Now, I hate the fact that they're killing civilians, but let's get rid of Hamas. And then you can go in with your humanitarian aid. Then there was, you know, there was the Marshall Plan that happened after World War II, where we essentially rebuilt Europe. You want to do that? Let's do that after the war. But let's help our ally beat the shit out of these people, get them out of the way, and then we can move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some thoughts on that too, but real quick, you know, it brings up the question, like Biden has talked about repeatedly, that he's not sending American troops to Ukraine. He's not sending American troops to fight the war in Gaza. So he was asked before getting on Air Force One, who's going to defend the port?
Mr. President, who is going to provide provide security for the port you're planning to build to offer aid to Gaza?
Israelis, he said, is going to defend the port. And it's just, to me, it's just classic failed American foreign policy. We're supplying the weapons and the money for people to bomb the shit out of an area, and then we're coming in and we're supporting the area. Like, we're supporting both sides at the same time. How does that make sense? Why not just stay out of it? You know what I'm saying? It just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, the other question is, why not North Korea? Why not Havana? I mean, there's people there that don't like us. I mean, why don't we just build a humanitarian port there? Because there's a humanitarian crisis going on there. You know, they keep talking about send us your poor and blah, 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 blah. And the liberals cry a tear about all the illegals that are coming. They don't want to call them illegals, but they are, you know, coming across the southern border. Our Statue of Liberty says, bring us all of your tired, your poor and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, there's 2+ billion people in Africa, and a lot of them would yearn to live free. Let's put 2 billion Africans in the United States. We can certainly do that, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's not good enough that millions are coming across the southern border. We're flying in 30,000 illegals a month. Let's just skip that messy southern border. And the transparent Biden administration, you think they're telling you where those folks are going? They're not.
I will build a great, great wall.
You know, the thing about a wall, if you think about it in terms of your house, you got this wonderful wall, right, that helps keep your family safe. What's that wall have?
A drywall, insulation.
A door.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a door into the United States. You want to come to the United States? Do it the right way. Right. I've got no problem with legal immigration. That's why we need language. It's why we need words that are important, like illegal. It separates it from legal. Legal immigration is a thing, and it has been in this country, in the history of this country. But if you come here illegally, or undocumented, as Democrats like to say, you're illegal.
Right. And in that analogy that you're making, there is no point in having a door if you don't have a wall.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
If you just have an empty house with a door, then the door serves no purpose.
Outgoing climate czar John Kerry claims that the world would be more okay with the Russian invasion of Ukraine if they did a better job on climate change.
I love this clip. This is fantastic.
I believe that Russia has the ability to be able to make enormous changes if it really wanted to. I mean, if Russia has the ability to wage a war illegally and invade another country, they ought to be able to find the effort to be responsible in the climate issue. Unfortunately, because of the actions that Russia took in an unprovoked, illegal war against another nation, we have not been engaged in discussions with Russia, sadly. I say sadly because it's a loss for the world not to be able to have Russia acting constructively on this issue. But we need every country, including Russia. Russia is one of the largest emitters in the world. If Russia wanted to show good faith, they could go out and announce what their reductions are going to be and make a greater effort to reduce emissions now. And maybe that would open up the door for people to feel better about what Russia is choosing to do at this point in time.
Yeah. God, if they just put solar panels on their tanks.
The jokes just write themselves. The world, you don't even have to say anything.
Such a better place. Boy, and you know, when you wonder why we believe what we believe, all you have to do is listen to the other side when they open their mouths. California voters passing propositions E and F in San Francisco. That gives the police more power. Is it too late? I mean, a lot of places liberals are trying to sound tough on crime because we've got an election coming up. And it's like, they made this mess. And now it's like in the 12th hour, that's like, oh, well, I guess we shouldn't do that. Let's go the other way. We were defund the police. Now let's go the other way and enforce crimes and all that. Maybe they'll be stupid enough to vote for us again.
little bit on both of these here. Proposition E would weaken the authority of the citizen-led San Francisco Police Commission. It would also allow the San Francisco Police Department to deploy surveillance technology like facial recognition, implement public surveillance cameras and drones, loosen restrictions around vehicle chases, and exempt officers from filing paperwork after using force on a subject so long as the person suffered no injuries. Proposition F would allow the city to require welfare recipients to be drug tested and enter treatment programs if they are suspected of using illegal drugs. If a person declined treatment, they would no longer get cash and could be evicted from their housing. More than 5,000 San Franciscans used welfare last year, according to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So they're getting tough and they're knuckling down there. And can you remember back in the day when they would just like scream bloody murder when we suggested things like drug testing people who were getting welfare?
Right.
And now they've actually voted for it in San Francisco, of all places. Statewide, Adam Schiff, one of our favorites from the Congress, is going to run against Steve Garvey for the open seat in California. Garvey, the Republican, will probably get slaughtered in liberal California unless, you know, the Jackson County equivalent of this is when Frank White ran for county executive. All he did was have a billboard with a baseball on it. And it's like, the stupid voters in Jackson County continue to vote him in, even though he's screwing us on taxes, has no idea what he's doing. In fact, they hired the old city manager from Kansas City to actually run the thing. Frank is just more or less a figurehead, but he put a baseball on a billboard and stupid ass voters went out there and voted for him, despite the fact that the Kansas City Star, of all things, the liberal-leaning Kansas City Star, liberal-leaning actually is too kind to them, the liberal rag, the Kansas City Star, they endorsed the Republican. Can you imagine what they had to go through to do that? And yet Frank White won because he's a baseball player, second baseman. So Steve Garvey, you may be too young to remember this, was a legendary baseball player for the Dodgers and finished up his career with the Padres. So he's a baseball guy. Maybe they'll be stupid enough to vote for him. We can hope.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, if he would be an improvement, then maybe they
A Republican, you know.
So I don't know anything about the guy, so.
We'd get a Republican in the Senate, which would be better than Adam Schiff, wouldn't you agree?
100%.
Okay, so, and why his race matters, even if he gets slaughtered by Adam Schiff, and I just can't imagine, what a slime ball. Is there a slimier guy in politics than Adam Schiff?
Probably. I mean, there's a lot of slimy people.
Yeah.
Oh, there was another, at least the version of the State of the Union that I was watching. Biden was talking about China, and they cut to Eric Swalwell.
Well, he's a slime bag.
Cut to Eric. I was like, this is genius. Yeah. Whoever is producing this broadcast knows exactly what they're doing.
He had an affair with, you know, somebody from communist China.
Fang.
And he's on the intelligence committee.
Yep.
Slime bag. Adam Schiff is the guy who proudly says he impeached Donald Trump over a phone call to the Ukraine.
Fang likes to bang
yeah,
and sell secrets to the Communist Party.
Why it matters is California, and I don't know what the number is, has a lot of seats in Congress. Okay. Yeah. And a lot of people, a lot of Republicans in California don't even bother to vote. Steve Garvey might well bring them to the polls to vote, and you might get more Republican House seats out of the state of California as a result. So even if he gets slaughtered at the top of the ticket, there might be some down-ticket pressure to bring more Republicans to the polls in California, and maybe we can fatten up the majority that we have in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, California has more Republicans, more registered Republicans than any other state.
It's a big state.
Pretty crazy.
The New York disconnect. Mayor Eric Adams touting better crime stats, while Governor Kathy Hochul, they're both Democrats, sends 1,000 troops into the subways to protect commuters because, you know, crime's going down in New York.
So today, in the wake of these latest attacks, I'm unveiling a 5-point plan to rid our subways of people who commit crimes and protect all New Yorkers, whether you're a commuter or a transit worker. Point one. I'm redeploying nearly 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard to conduct bag checks in the city's busiest transit stations.
What? Bag checks?
So we'll be having 750 members of the New York National Guard.
She goes on for a while. And yeah, then there's you can look up, too, on Twitter/X. there's videos of them, you know, standing by the turnstiles and things like that. So the it's kind of weird, you know, I mean, it's not something you want to see. You go into an American subway and there's, you know, armed troops with long rifles. But I guess that's better than getting stabbed or robbed. So.
Yeah. Well, again, we go back to the fact that the Soros-funded prosecutors and the attorney general. Did you see where Letitia, was it Letitia James? Was that the, am I thinking of the right person?
Letitia James is New York.
Right.
Yeah.
Where she went into like the church with the FDNY in there and they started heckling her.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great clip, and I'm sorry to throw you a curveball on that. But she went in, and I guess it was in a church, and the firefighters were there, and they started heckling her, and then they started shouting Trump.
Found it right away.
All right, let's go. She's the one who ran on Get Trump.
Oh, come on. We're in a house of God. First, simmer down. I want to thank Commissioner Kavanaugh and Chief Hodgins for that recognition.
I love it. Well, you get the idea.
I love it. No, I love the heckling. I love the booing. I mean, people, back to the State of the Union again, people talk about, you know, we have to have this decorum and be respectful. No, screw that. Yeah. Heckle the president, yell at him, interrupt, please.
You would like the British system in the House of Commons.
Oh, it's great. Have you seen those videos? It's fantastic.
Well, I've seen a lot of activity in the House of Commons where they just shout at each other back and forth. It's like, it's crazy.
You're out of order. No, yeah. You're out of order.
And the British are so nice and polite, but man, you put them in the House of Commons, it's on.
It's great.
Closer to home, Emmanuel Cleaver, former mayor of Kansas City, now the 5th District Congressman for a long time. He wants to work for free. He's reintroduced his ridiculous bill that Congress gets no pay whenever there is a mass shooting. And there's always a mass shooting. So they'd never get paid, right?
Finally, we agree on something.
I mean, again, to me, it always gets back to enforcement. Enforce the laws that we have. Jail these people. Get them off the streets, because otherwise it's not going to end. Guns have been part of our culture for as long as we've had a country. And the fact that lately, I would say in the last, I don't know, what would you say, 20 years, 25 years, it's gotten really out of hand.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you look at it, because the crime rate has gone down broadly, but I think in a lot of ways it's getting more concentrated. You know, you have, if you look at the broader statistics for gun violence, it has gone down. And certainly in places like New York is a big one. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, it was very dangerous in New York. And I think it got a lot safer, certainly under Giuliani and that kind of era, early to mid 2000s. But now you see it ticking back up. So yeah. It's all about, you know, your frame of reference. But certainly if you have 1,000 National Guard troops going into the subway in major cities, it's not a good look.
Enforce the law. Jail those who break it for a very, very long time. And I think we'll clean this up and we won't have to do things like withhold pay from Congress, although I think that, you know, I like Mark Alford. I want him to get paid.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm cool with not paying any of them.
Mayor Q and the Liberal Story Hour. You brought this to my attention, and I just love it.
Yeah, hat tip to Richard, who sent this to us on Facebook.
Happy National Reading Day.
Today, we are reading Introducing Teddy,
a gentle story about gender and friendship.
It was written by Jessica Walton and illustrated by Dougal McPherson.
Errol and Thomas the Teddy play together every day.
They ride their bike in the backyard.
They plant vegetables in the garden.
They have sandwiches for lunch in the treehouse.
And they have tea parties inside when it's raining.
One day, Errol woke to find the sun shining through his bedroom window.
Hooray! He shouted. Come on, Thomas. Let's go to the park and play.
Thomas the Teddy didn't feel like playing.
You seem sad today, Thomas, said Errol.
Don't worry. The park will cheer you up.
Thomas the Teddy wasn't so sure.
Oh, no. Even the swing isn't working.
What's wrong, Thomas? Talk to me.
If I tell you, said Thomas,
you might not be my friend anymore. Thomas is looking at me.
I will always be your friend, Thomas.
Thomas the Teddy took a deep breath.
I need to be myself, Errol.
In my heart, I've always known that I'm a girl Teddy, not a boy Teddy.
I wish my name was Tilly,
not Thomas.
Is that why you've been so sad? Errol asked. I don't care if you're a girl Teddy or a boy Teddy. What matters is that you are my friend.
The inspiring music in the background.
You're the best friend the bear could have, said
it.
Tilly.
Now that you're feeling better, said Errol.
Let's call our friend Ava.
Hi, Ava. Teddy and I are at the park. You want to come and play?
Sure, Errol. Let me just finish building my robot.
Ava believes in STEM, which is great.
Hi, Errol. Hi, Thomas. Ava.
That's enough. I mean, child abuse sounds a lot better when you put some inspiring music behind it and some shitty illustration in some little book. It makes child abuse really a lot more palatable, doesn't it?
I was a little triggered that they had a tea party. I mean, isn't that kind of a...
Yeah, maybe you are a girl. You have a tea party.
Well, I'm just thinking, the tea party. The tea party. That's a MAGA reference.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
See, you got to think about these things. I mean, let's teach people to read. Let's teach them math. Let's leave the politics and all that shit out. And while we're talking about educating our kids, how about toe-sucking in Oklahoma?
Yeah,
is that on the menu?
This one went pretty viral last week, like right after we recorded the podcast, but I wanted to bring it up. So this has been happening over several years, apparently, in this Oklahoma school district. You know, a lot of schools have, they'll have like a, you know, school pride week or whatever. Like mine was called black and white night, where half the school dressed in all black, half the school dressed in all white, and they had sports competitions and academic competitions to determine who's the best. They raise money for charity, things like that. So this district in Oklahoma thought that it would be I'm going to just mute it and play it, that it would be appropriate to have kids licking peanut butter off of each other's feet, I guess. Now, their defense was that it wasn't, and armpits, there, as you see there. Their defense was that it was, they weren't licking peanut butter off of the teachers, which as I guess is supposed to make it better somehow. I don't know. It's weird,
man.
It makes
it a little less creepy, but it's pretty damn creepy.
It's pretty damn creepy. And so, of course, now a bunch of parents are outraged, and the community is outraged, and it's making national news, but it's like, how did you, I mean, if your kid goes to this school, how did you not know about it? Are you not paying attention to what's happening at your kid's school? You know, and this started in 2015. So it takes 8 years plus for this to make national news. Yeah. And then now people are outraged. Oh, wow. You know, so.
All right, we move on. And thank Bob Watson for being part of our podcast here. 816-229-7878, 7th and Main in Blue Springs, Auto, Home, Life, Commercial Insurance. The boats will be in the water before you know it. I mean, we're at the daylight saving time, so you know that spring is coming fast. You need to make sure that that boat is insured. Might be a good time to look at an umbrella policy if you've got a pool at your house, just to make sure that you are completely covered. Bob Watson can take care of all of your insurance needs, give you the complete overview, and give you a health check for your insurance. You need insurance, and State Farm is the best. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is always there, and it's even better when you bundle home and car insurance. You'll save even more money. 816-229-7878. He's my State Farm agent, but I'll share him with you. Bob Watson, State Farm. All right, and this came to me from a friend of mine, and I get stuff like this all the time. Adam Hoover sent it to me.
Is this a link that I need, by the way, or are you just going to read it?
I don't think so. I'm just going to read this off. Yeah, have you ever wondered, I don't, from a very early age, I knew that I was conservative, and I knew why I was conservative, and unlike what Joy Reid says, I know I'm conservative because of my principles and my values that are based in the Constitution, not because I hate black and brown people. I just, still, my mind explodes whenever I listen to her talk. So listen to this and see which side of the fence you sit on. If a conservative doesn't like guns, he doesn't buy one. If a liberal doesn't like guns, he wants all guns outlawed. If a conservative is a vegetarian, he doesn't eat meat. If a liberal is a vegetarian, he wants all meat products banned for everyone. If a conservative is down and out, and he thinks about how to better his situation, right? A liberal wonders, who's going to take care of him? If a conservative doesn't like a talk show host, he switches channels. Liberals demand that those they don't like be shut down. If a conservative is a non-believer, he doesn't go to church. A liberal non-believer wants any mention of God and Jesus silenced. If a conservative decides he needs health care, he goes about shopping for it. He might choose a job that provides it. A liberal demands that the rest of us pay for his. Now, if a conservative reads this, he'll forward it so friends can have a good laugh, much like Adam sent it to me and I got a little laugh out of it. A liberal will delete it because he's offended. Might even pull a Nancy Pelosi here. That was a recreation of her Joan of Arc moment from an earlier State of the Union address. And until next week when we gather around this podcast studio, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.